Hello, friends. Guess what? We're having our super special September sale on Sleep Tight Premium through Supercast, and it ends this month. It's the perfect way to help you and your grown-ups ease back into the school year and make bedtime even more special for the whole family. With Sleep Tight Premium, you'll get ad-free episodes, extra stories each month, and for annual subscribers, a personalized birthday message from me. Plus, you'll unlock over 500 stories not available anywhere else, all while supporting the stories your family loves. Don't miss out. It's only for this month. Join us for more dreamy nights. Sign up at the link in our show notes or visit sleeptight.supercast.com. The Rat King by Patty Larson. Susan has been taken by the rats, and Tucker has been placed in his room after his meeting with the council. Tucker's mom finally comes and says she will let him out, but tells him he won't be on gate duty anymore. Tucker pretends to agree with her and says okay, and then races to the gate to see Susan before he can no longer go through. The Rat King, Chapter 8. No one tried to stop him when he reached the gate. Word of his new position not yet reached the other gatekeepers. Without Captain Monster to stop him either, it was so simple to pass through the portal to the world above, to exit the sacred tree and scamper from the grove as he'd done so many times before. A simple wave of his tail for the watching cats on guard, all he needed to make his escape. Cynthia expected Tucker to obey her. Maybe there was a time he would have too, before he met Susan, before he learned of the threat against the city. He shook off the fear that made his fur stand on end as he ran for the house and the girl he adored. He made the right choice. They'd change their minds when he showed them the rats were back. He was sure of it. And even if they didn't, Susan was in danger. He had to put her first. Tucker was so lost in his own thoughts, he didn't notice something was wrong until he was almost to the broken basement window, pausing near the back steps where he and Susan had first met. The sound of voices from the kitchen door making him stop. More so, Mom's horrible weeping as she spoke. "Please, you have to find her," Mom said so loudly Tucker gasped, staring through the screen at Susan's parents on the other side, a pair of dark uniformed police officers with them. She wouldn't run away, she just wouldn't. "We'll do our best to find her, ma'am," the female officer said. Except Tucker knew they wouldn't. The rats would make sure of it. If only he'd gotten away sooner. But he was here now, and nothing would stop him. "I'll find you, Susan." He sent that thought out, though she'd never hear it. "I'll save you." He turned to run back toward the grove, but stopped himself before he could leave the step. "I can't go back," he thought. "As soon as I return through the gate, they'll lock me up again. Or banish him, in which case he wouldn't be able to help Susan at all, since getting back to the city was his only way of reaching her." The rats had to have taken her underground. Wait, I don't have to use the gate. There was a tunnel from the surface to the city, though it had been sealed after Kai used it to let the rats in to attack. No, that wasn't a way in anymore. What was he going to do? As he tried to decide, panic making him pause and shiver in the dark of the backyard, he heard Mom speak to the officers again. "She was in the kitchen," she was saying. "That's the last time you saw her last night?" The policewoman's voice sounded sympathetic. "The back door was closed and locked," Dad said then. "She couldn't have gone past us to the front door without us seeing her. I'm sure of it." "Where does this door lead?" Tucker peeked in the screen door at the officer who asked the question, heart skipping a beat. "Just the basement," Mom said. "Of course." Tucker yowled out loud when that thought arose before he could stop himself. The house. Like the Grove, the house was tied to the city. But did that mean he could use it like a gate? He'd never tried to travel to the city through it and wasn't even really sure how he'd go about it. He'd only ever used the oak in the Grove, the main gate. The city had many gates to it once upon a time, before they were betrayed by the sorcerer and the humans abandoned them. From what he'd been taught, only the main gate had been left open. But he knew now that wasn't necessarily true. Were there other ways in which he, as a gatekeeper, could make work for him? He had to try, for Susan. To his surprise, as hope distracted him again, Mom hurried to the door and opened it, scooping him into her arms and snuggling him against her cheek. "Tucker," she said, voice catching, "where is Susan?" He wished he could answer her, reassure her that he was going to find Susan. But Mom's question wasn't really meant for him. She turned with him in her arms, Tucker looking up at the tears trickling down Mom's face, his own heart breaking. "We have everyone out looking," the woman officer said, her brown eyes barely glancing Tucker's way. "We'll let you know the moment we find anything." "Thank you," Dad said, following the two police persons to the front door. Mom stopped at the kitchen door, rocking Tucker and weeping into his fur, leaving Dad to escort them out. Tucker wanted to jump down right away and investigate the basement, but couldn't bring himself to leave Mom alone just yet. When Dad returned, he squirmed just enough that Mom finally set him on the floor. "They'll find her," Dad said, crying too, hugging Mom while Tucker took one last moment to wind himself around their legs in comfort. He wished he had the power to hold time. He'd only just learned of that particular power when Susan had come to Cat City. It took several gatekeepers to make the spell work, however, and he was alone. Tucker tried to tap into it anyway, hoping to help Mom and Dad if he could. But when he tried, he realized with grim acceptance that his gatekeeper magic was already limited. Had Cynthia figured out what he'd done? That meant he had to act quickly or be trapped up here permanently. Tucker dashed for the basement door, trying to push it open. But the handle had been repaired, and there was no way down. He spun as Mom called after him, streaking out the screen door and to the ground, paws barely touching the steps. They hadn't sealed the way to the basement, to his relief, Tucker squeezing through the broken window and leaping down to the clay floor a moment later, where he paused, quivering and sniffing the air. Not that he needed to search for trace of his enemies. Rats. The basement stank of them. Tiny paw prints confirmed they'd been here too. Tucker's fear and excitement were almost too much, making it very hard to focus. But he couldn't fall apart. Susan needed him. He had to try, even if he failed, reaching out with his magic to desperately grasp for some way through to below. To his surprise, he felt the edge of a very old gate between the house and underground and fed power into it without thinking things through. Suddenly afraid he no longer had the power to pass between places, his gatekeeper magic dissipating, Cynthia had followed through. He wasn't banished just yet. Besides, he realized, the gate he'd found wasn't taking him to Cat City. He found the exit the rats used with only a little effort, the slice they'd made between places near the far wall where the brick met dirt. They must have discovered it recently because surely they would have used it to get to Susan before now if they had. The tunnel Kai had given them access to must have made them curious. A curiosity that paid off, it seemed. With a deep breath, Tucker triggered the old, quiet gate they'd reawakened, tearing at the partially sealed gap until it was just big enough for him to squeeze through. Just as Vinny's magic touched him, "Tucker!" The Maine Coon's panic hit Tucker hard. "What are you doing?" "The rats took Susan," he told his big friend, grim and determined as he stepped into the gate. "I have to save her." "I'll meet you there," Vinny sent without a moment of hesitation. "Wait for me." "I can't," he said back. "Warn them, Vinny. The rats haven't given up." And then, not knowing what to expect or where he'd end up, Tucker stepped into the gap and pushed through to the other side. Darkness engulfed him for a moment, only to be smothered immediately by warm, wiry bodies, squeaking horribly as bright red eyes stared at him while the waiting rats took him down. And that is the end of this part. Good night. Sleep tight.